Welcome to episode 132 of the Active Photographer podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. Regular listeners will know that, as well as working with outdoor organisations, photographing such activities as camping, hill walking and extreme sports, I also shoot a lot for corporate clients. Well, this week's show is about one such recent shoot, a nice little quick job on a Saturday morning. Now, not wishing to sound like a stuck record, as this is something I discussed in a recent episode, but I am going to spend just a few minutes touching on the subject of why contracts are a really important aspect of any assignment, and that's before I get into the nitty-gritty of just how I set about capturing a range of images depicting the lively meeting on that particular day. So, let's get straight into it. Welcome, one and all, to The Active Photographer, episode 132. It's about 1:45 in the afternoon on a Saturday as I record this, and the temperature outside is somewhere in the region of about 24-25 degrees, and it's kind of a little bit humid. I'm just on the way back from a shoot, but I haven't been outdoors on this occasion. I've actually been undertaking a quick little shoot, which was very last minute, but it was very much indoors. So I thought I'd just talk a little bit about it for you. So the back history to this shoot, basically, I got a phone call at about 4:30 yesterday afternoon. And as I say, it's Saturday today, so this was right at the end of the week. And I get this phone call from a client who I haven't worked with for a while, but I used to do a lot of stuff for them over the past 10 years or so. And basically, it was a very last minute thing, and they said, can you come and do some photography for us? There's a meeting where people are going to be discussing ideas, and they're going to be working through some workshops and this sort of thing. So again, it's not an outdoor client. This is one of my corporate clients that's long-standing. So of course, I made sure that I didn't have anything on this morning, and in fact I had to adjust my my plans for the day a little bit just to accommodate them. So even before there was any thought towards the actual shoot itself, obviously I had a sort of a brief, a breakdown of the photographs that were required, not specifically, but just general sort of guidance, things like people sort of interacting, asking questions, sort of challenge, if they're making challenges, obviously capturing their expressions and all this sort of thing. But this is the thing, every shoot that I do now, no matter how small, no matter who it is that I'm working with, whether it's a new client or someone that I've been working with for many years, I always insist on getting a contract written up. Now, the point of a contract is that it's not just to protect myself as a photographer, it's to protect the client. Essentially, just so that we all know where we stand. And I know that a lot of photographers don't do individual client contracts, and for many years in the past I didn't, but I kind of got let down, shall we say, by clients a few times, and I lost some money along the way. It just happens. And again, to protect myself and make sure that they understand where they stand, I decided that from now on, or I say from now on, this is going back a while, that from that point everyone was going to be signing a contract. So it's about 4:30, 5 o'clock last night. I was starting to think, having thought that I was winding down my week and looking forward to the weekend, I then had to start thinking about putting together a new contract, adjusting the details of the standard contract, just to make sure that it was suitable for this client. I did that, and well, actually, no, before that, I got asked if I could do the job, and I thought, that's fine, and you've, the client has taken my confirmation that I'm happy to do the shoot, but there was no talk of the money side of things. Now, on the one hand, I could have just said, yep, brilliant, no problem, I will be there in the morning at 10:30, as it was, and then I could have done the shots, submitted the pictures, and submitted my invoice. But the danger with that, of course, is that the client can turn around and say, oh, I didn't realise it was going to be that much, or we never agreed that that was how much your rate was going to be. So again, to make sure, I sent an email and I said, look, I'm more than happy to do this, however, I think we need to get the money side sorted out. This is how much I'm going to charge you. This is what this is a breakdown of the services. This is what you're getting. Please, can you confirm that you are happy with this? And on that basis, I will get the paperwork together. So I did that, and it got to about 6:30, and the client had said that they were going to be in the office for a while yesterday evening anyway, so I knew they'd be there. And it got to 6:30, and I still hadn't received confirmation. So again, take a lesson from the past. I decided, fine, I'm not going to do the job. If I don't have this confirmation, I'm not going to do the job. And bear with me one second. I'm just going to skip through the traffic because there's a really big tailback here. Oh dear, tailback right along the motorway. Just going to skip through town. yeah, so I thought, I was happy with that, because I thought, do you know what, it's very last minute. If the job goes ahead, brilliant. If not, then not to worry, you know. But I need to get confirmation. And so 6:30, nothing had come back, so I phoned up and it went through to an answer phone. So I left a message saying, look, I need to have this confirmation. Please, can you get back to me? And this was on a mobile number, so I knew that they'd definitely be able to get it. Well, the time went on and it got to near a 7 or 7:15. Still no answer, so I phoned the lady's colleague who I was due to see this morning and said, look, haven't heard back. Just to let you know, I'm not going to be there in the morning. If I haven't heard back and it's, you know, it's not, if we don't all know where we stand, I don't want to get into a situation where, you know, we all feel let down, this and the other. Anyway, I had to leave a message with her, and about 10 minutes after I did that, I get a phone call back from the client, the original person I was trying to get hold of, saying, oh yeah, sorry, yeah, that's all fine, go ahead, please get the paperwork across. So an even longer story cut shorter, and other phone calls and what have you, I got the contract and everything sent over about 8:00 last night. And so as I look at this, we're almost 8 minutes into this recording and you haven't heard anything about the photography yet. So let's get on to that. The point being from all of that is that I went off to do the shoot this morning absolutely happy and confident that we all know where we stand, and that meant I could just concentrate on the photography itself. So I turned up, I was asked to be there for, now let me think, was it 10:30? No, it was 10:00 till 12:30. That's when they wanted me there. But of course, I, as much as I knew the location, it's a hotel, as much as I know the hotel, I didn't know the specific room, I didn't know what the lighting was going to be like, whether I'd need to take extra lighting. So, knowing the sort of lighting that I typically use for candid people shots in meetings, i.e. nothing posed, I packed one Pelly case, which is a 1510, it's a roller case. A lot of you will know that I use those frequently, and I will link to my review of that case in the show notes. I packed that, and I also packed my continuous lights, which are basically two 1,000-watt halogen lamps with stands, and they all fit in one case. They get very, very hot, which means that they pump out a lot of heat into the room. So I left those in the car, first of all, once I turned up, and just went in, met up with my contact, and had a chat about the pictures, about the room, what the plan was, the timings and what have you. And I did a few test shots and found out that because of the size of the room, it's quite a big room, and the windows and the amount of light coming in, I took the decision not to use the extra lighting because it wouldn't have had a huge impact photographically and in a lighting sense on the subjects because of the fall off of that light. And also there were, I don't know, probably about 20, 25 people in that room, and I didn't want them to all get really, really hot if there was no need for it, because yeah, it does, those lights do raise the ambient temperature. So I left them in the car and I did a few test shots, and it was in some corners of the room there were basically three round tables dotted around with a group of people around each, and into a couple of the corners of the rooms where a couple of the tables were, it was a little bit dim, the lighting, but in other areas it was really bright. So I played around with the settings, and I was shooting on two cameras today. I was on my Nikon D3 with an 80-200 f/2.8 lens, which is a lovely lens for this sort of work. And again, it's the old AFS 80-200, which I still use and still love. Which I've found for my purposes actually performs better than some of the newer models. I also had my Nikon D800, and that had a 24-70 f/2.8 lens attached because I needed to get some wider shots as well as the head and shoulders or closer cropped pictures. The D3 was set, I believe, at somewhere in the region of ISO 6400. Now, of course, that's very high on the ISO setting. And, sorry, someone's just trying to cut me up in the traffic here. So it's very high. But as I've said many times before, the D3 is brilliant at handling the noise and the graininess of the pictures at that high ISO, especially when you've worked the lighting out. So I did a few test shots. They're a little bit dark in places, and it suddenly occurred to me, I looked up at the ceiling, and a lot of the kind of halogen spotlights, you know, the sorts that are sort of recessed into ceilings, a lot of those weren't on. So I found the switches, flipped those on, and just like that, it worked out much better. I was still shooting at 6400, which is giving me shutter speed somewhere in the region of between 125th and 250th of a second, and that worked really well because people were had all their gestures and they were talking and what have you, so I needed to freeze that. But especially in the brighter areas of the room, at that high ISO, the grain is so minimal that I probably won't have to do anything to remove it. So it was really good. That worked out really well. So it was a kind of a mix of, like I say, wide angle and sort of close-up shots. And the important thing with that sort of shoot, where you've got all these people, the pictures are for marketing purposes, of course. But it's probably the case that there were the bunch of people there, and as long as there's a good comprehensive coverage, they're going to be happy. However, for me, I always like to cover my back and think, well, if there was a specific person that they needed a photograph of, even if it's not immediately, it might be a few months down the line when they're putting together a report or something, have I got a picture of everyone? So what I did, there were these three tables, And there was a work... The first workshop that they did after an initial presentation was 35 minutes. So, roughly speaking, I gave myself 10 minutes to work at taking some pictures of each of the tables. And most of what I did at that point was to, from afar, with the long lens, I should probably mention that because I was working later last night, tying up odds and ends for this, and I had stuff to do, on a personal level with the family, it was basically 1:30 this morning that I went to bed. So, glamorous life that I lead. Anyway, so apologies for the odd yawn now and then. So I spent 10 minutes per table, roughly speaking, and just got individual shots of individual people. But then I also, whilst I was working quite quick, was able to get twos and threes of people. And rather than just... I didn't want the individuals to be singled out as if I just said, sit on that chair, but don't look at the camera, just talk to someone. I didn't want that. So what I was doing was kind of shooting across other people, sort of across heads and shoulders, dropping the camera level down to be almost at table level, making sure that I got references to other people in the shots. So you had things like pens and paper, people were making notes, if people's hands were there. Sometimes I'd focus on someone's hands sort of in the foreground, so the person that was in my intended subject for that moment became a background detail. So it's all about just grabbing these little opportunities as they crop up. So for the first, as I say, the first 35 minutes, or the first, certainly the first hour, because we had this presentation, after that, the first 35 minutes were the workshop pictures. And I just, as I say, went between the tables and just kind of, to begin with, after the first table, I'd really kind of got into the groove, as it were, and I kind of was starting to get a good pattern. I didn't really need to look at my watch to check how I was doing, because I just had I'd worked out the pace that I needed to shoot at. And it worked out really well. It meant that I didn't miss anyone in the room. There was one gentleman that turned up a little bit later, so I just incorporated shots of him in a similar fashion at whichever table he sat down at later on. So once I'd got... I knew that I'd covered the individuals. Then it was on my brief to get shots that were essentially supporting shots, so little details. So when people were sort of, they were using flip charts, obviously I got shots of individuals doing that, but if there were details of people writing on the flip charts, or if people had put their glasses down on the table, for example, I got shots of that. Just one thing that I would mention, if ever you're doing sort of similar shots, do be careful that if you want to photograph pictures of glasses, just do a quick test shot or two, and then on the back of your camera zoom in to check the details, because I got some really nice incidental shots of glasses. And when I say glasses, I mean glasses you wear on your face for your eyesight, not glasses with orange juice in or what have you, which were also dotted around the tables, but they're not so important as supporting images. Zoom in on the back of your camera and have a look at those glasses, because I can tell you, of all the pictures that I took where people had put their glasses down just in the course of the meeting, I'm not sure if I can use, or whether I would be happy to use, any of them. They were lovely and sharp, perfectly well exposed, the lighting was nice, the tonal range was lovely, but the state of those glasses, no amount of Photoshop is going to rescue them to make them look nice and clean. So clearly the people that were using them just didn't clean their glasses any when before the meeting or during the meeting. So that was a real shame, because they're nice incidental shots of glasses and spectacles put down on the table. But there we go. You have to have these ideas in your head, but they don't always work out. So other incidental shots, like I say, there was the flip charts. People had the flip chart paper as well on the tables. So I got a few shots of that, showing hands and pens, and then just details with where they'd written key words that I can't remember now. Something like the word positive, you know, they're talking about giving positive feedback to their customers and this, that, and the other. You know, picking out on that, any time that branding featured on the top of, like, letterheads on printouts that they had, making sure that, and on brochures, making sure that I captured that. And that was really it. It's been a really nice, quite a simple shoot, insofar as the lighting was simple, once I got that figured. Nothing too taxing, because I've shot this sort of thing so often over the years and worked with that particular client. There are a few familiar faces in the room as well, so it was nice just to have a chat with them, see how they were doing, catch up on how things have been and this, that, and the other. So it was really nice. So the other thing that I was thinking that I would just mention to you, when it comes to white balance on pictures, people often will ask what white balance they should use, and for those of you who don't know, white balance just refers to the colour in your pictures to make sure that it is neutral and therefore correct. So for example, if you take a picture of a person in a room, and the human eye of course adjusts to different colour casts that are in the room, but if you take a picture of a person and their skin looks sort of quite pink, or it looks quite yellow, and you know, because you can look away from the camera and see them, and that you know that that is not correct, white balance is there to ensure that your colours are correct. Now, there are all these settings on the back of the camera, but for all of that, I only ever use two white balance settings. One of them is the auto setting, because my cameras, my particular model of these particular cameras that I use and my way of shooting, the way that I have them set up, I know how they handle, even before I take a picture at the start of a shoot, I know how 98% of the time how they're going to record the image. When it comes to correcting the colour, I do that in post-production. It's very quick and simple to do. The other white balance setting that I use in specific shoots is the flash white balance setting, which, as the name suggests, is intended for when you are using flashlights. I didn't use flashlights today, or obviously I wasn't in the studio either, so that was not the setting to use. Just because a setting is set up for tungsten or ambient or halogen or cloudy lighting or whatever, cloudy daylight, doesn't mean you have to use it in that particular situation. Have a play with it. There's some really good effects that you can get, and maybe that's a topic for another podcast, because there's some really interesting results you can get through having just a bit of an experimentation. But in order to give myself a good reference, because there was some variety depending on where I was in the room and where the lighting changed a little bit and all this sort of thing, what I did right at the very end of the shoot, I went into my case and I pulled out three little cards. One of them was what's known as a grey card, which is a neutral 18%, what's known as 18% neutral grey. Now, traditionally, we would have used these for taking an exposure reading on a very contrasty scene. So if you've got very bright and very dark, the cameras essentially were calibrated to take all the highlights and the shadows and mix it all up and record an average of 18% grey, and that worked very well on older film cameras. Still works with digital, which is why I pulled it out on this occasion. So with that, along with two of my old business cards that I've had through the years, one of which is a blue with white writing on the front and one of which is black with white writing and some little pictures that were on the front, I went round the room and the meeting was still going on, but I didn't, people were so used to me moving around that they had come to just sort of kind of ignore me and just carry on as they were. So what I did in three positions within the room, essentially close to each of the three tables, I took my D800 with the 24-70. The aperture didn't matter, it was probably something like f5.6 or 8 or something, and I just at arm's length held these three cards in one hand out in front of the camera, focused on them, and took a quick snap. And what that means is that when I go back to when I come to edit through these pictures, I can look at those and look at the range of pictures that I took across all different areas in the room, and I can, with the colour referencing tool, I can click on any of those cards, probably the grey, but also the white areas on those cards, and the program that I use will basically, on the picture selected, will just neutralise all the colours to give me the correct colour for that room. And what you can do, you can select a whole bunch of pictures, or groups of pictures, or individual pictures, and you can just apply these settings across a whole range. And then, if you're not happy, because sometimes you do need to make a few adjustments, then you can just tweak the pictures just a fraction, because if someone does have particularly yellowy or red or warm skin, which they may have just naturally, you can just make those adjustments. But the main thing is, I will know that when I look at, say, a piece of paper that someone is holding, I can look at it and think, yep, that looks perfectly white, that's correct, and that'll be it. So that is basically the main considerations and the way I went about this shoot. So, as I say, it's a Saturday today, and I have other plans that I need to do. So I was planning to give myself a day off with the family today. I don't always. I think I will also put together next week's podcast. It won't be featuring this recording, because I have some other stuff that is already lined up for you. But this, obviously, this recording will go live in the fullness of time. So the rest of the day, I'm going to go back to my office. I am going to back up these pictures. I will probably have a very quick, brief little sort of skip through them, just because I'm inquisitive, just to see what I've got. But I will back them up and then turn everything off, and then I will spend the rest of the weekend with my family. And then Monday morning, I was to say, apart from maybe doing the podcast, and then the rest of that's all done. And then Monday, I will sit down to prepare these images and get them dispatched to the client on Monday afternoon. On this occasion, they want a DVD with the pictures, which is fine. A lot of clients still do. Other clients like to have the pictures downloadable through my website, in which case there's a link and a password that they have to do that. It really is a case of just seeing what individual clients, how they like to work. If they are working with, say, a design studio or a marketing company, often they will ask for the pictures to be downloaded directly by the art director or creative director. Other times they'll say, no, send a DVD off to them, because that's the way we've always done it. So, you know, it's horses for courses. There's no right or wrong way. It's all down to how the client wants their pictures. So that's it. that is it. Not a lot more to say. So, as ever, if you've got any questions about what I've just been talking about, technical side of things, the people side of things, how you work with people in these sort of scenarios, of course, I'm more than happy to answer. But as it stands, for now, that is it. I'm just watching the traffic one final time. It's been a bit of fun and games on the roads today. But there we go. It's all part and parcel of the experience of going to shoots, taking the pictures, and just tying up everything and making your way back and blah, blah, blah. So there we go. I will leave it there for now. I hope that's been useful. As I say, any questions, do let me know.
I've also recently undertaken another shoot for that same client, something a little bit different, and I'll be explaining the ins and outs about that shortly. You can check out all the show notes to this and other week's shows at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, don't forget I'm on Twitter, at Giles Babbage. There's the Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivephotographer. Or of course, send me a good old-fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, have a great week, and I will speak to you all very soon.
Member of the CurrentPhotographer.com podcast network. Find more great photography shows at CurrentPhotographer.com/podcast. CurrentPhotographer.